Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That
train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to The Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast and part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Today is March 5th, 2017, and this is episode 231, coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're discussing Pacers road games in Houston, San Antonio, and Atlanta. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Handy app. Joining me are four of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from right next to me in Charlotte, North Carolina, it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? What's up, Easy Money in the house? I want to give a quick shout out. New podcast launched this week, headed up by my sister, Aaron Triplett. Falling in love with Trip and Brick. It's the concept is my sister hates romantic comedies.
Okay.
And Brick loves them.
Mm.
And so they discuss romantic comedies. What works, what doesn't work. First episode is already out. It's pretty good. Check it out.
What's the romantic comedy they tackle first?
Jaws.
It's Jaws 2.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally.
It's a solid starting point.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Shout out.
Also from Charlotte, he's our in-house bartender mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Checking my name there?
Yeah.
I would like to shout out to D. Charles Easy Money, who actually was mixing up the drinks tonight instead of me. So thanks for letting me have a night off.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Appreciate that.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, he's our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, fellas? Just want to shout out Alphabet Math. Just what you do.
We'll explain that later. Don't worry.
And we got a bonus guest. He's in to Charlotte to visit with us and check out the game tomorrow. It's Easy Money, D. Charles.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be here. Excited to be in Charlotte. Excited to look at Harper and nowhere near Charlotte.
Yeah.
Wish you were here, buddy.
Epic fail.
We'll get it fixed next time. We'll do it right.
Yes.
But before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it on social media. These places, we're on Twitter, at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. We've got a website, TheUndebeatables.com. We've got a contact form there. Or you can give us an email, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. You guys, there were a couple of interesting injuries this week. Pretty unfortunate. Kyle Lowry and Kevin Durant out for some weeks.
That's okay.
Potentially into the playoffs a little bit. Does this open up any doors for some other teams to make some movement in the East and the West?
Well, I think that all of a sudden the juggernaut that is the Golden State Warriors is now very, 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 very vulnerable.
Okay. Would you call them a sluggernaut now?
Sure. Why not? Yeah, I mean, and they lost two consecutive games for the first time since 2015. So, clearly already they're having troubles. I think they'll figure it out. They still have the two-time reigning MVP. And then they just keep signing guys that want to play with them. So, they should be fine. The scary thing about the Durant injury is that they're just going to hold him out for a month and then reevaluate at a month. So... hopefully it heals, but who knows? Knees are weird.
Yeah.
We've discussed this on the pod before, so.
Right.
I think that was the name of a pod, actually.
I believe so. I believe so. Flip side, the Lowry injury, that really hurts Toronto.
Yeah.
He's the engine Huge. For that team.
Well, yeah, and you felt like they were getting their, you know, acts together by bringing in these trade deadline people. Oh, yeah.
PJ Tucker.
Ibaka. Bringing in PJ Tucker. And you really felt like they were just primed to make a run at maybe the second seed in the East. And you're right. Lowry is what makes that work. And so maybe there's a chance for...
Well, there's discussion.
Eastern teams to get hot.
Yeah, I mean, there's discussion in the Western Conference. The San Antonio Spurs could actually take the number one spot.
They have two games still to play against the Warriors. They win both those games.
Yeah,
you did overlook that the Warriors did pick up Matt Barnes, though. So it's kind of a net zero thing.
Sure, he's very similar in talent to Durant.
Very similar.
Well, I'll take counterpoint. As far as the Warriors go, look, this is basically the same team that they had the last 2 years. I mean, they won a championship with these people, less Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes. Remembering how to play basketball with Kevin Durant might not be the worst thing in the world. It's not going to make them win more games, but it might make them a better basketball team.
Sure.
And they can win enough to hold off the Spurs. That doesn't mean that they will. It's great if you're a Spurs fan, right? Because it definitely does open up the door. But it's nothing that would ever put the Golden State Warriors on the ropes, right? I mean, this is still the team to beat on paper in many ways. And Raptors, sure. too. I mean, yeah, it sucks Kyle Lowry got hurt. But guess what? They just added Serge Ibaka. They added a big piece. And now they can showcase him a little bit, spend a little bit more time integrating him. It probably doesn't mean more wins. But it might not be a bad thing in the long run. Come playoff time, cohesion and understanding with your teammates is way more important than, you know, how many games you won during the regular season.
Sure. Both these teams are going to make the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. The Warriors might just fall off the map.
No, they've already clinched.
They might be out.
They've already clinched.
Oh, that's right. They clinched in February.
But that's an interesting take. They might actually get better from these injuries.
Well, here's the other thing that you got to think about, though, is especially for Toronto, is playoff seeding. Right.
Mm.
So if you're Toronto, you go from wanting to be the two seed or thinking you're going to be the two seed and playing a Chicago or a Detroit or an Indiana team in the first round should be an easier series, to now you have to play the Hawks or the Wizards, I guess, or something like that.
Right.
Same thing for the Warriors, I guess, right? That number one seed,
no,
you get to play a team that's sub 500. Well, no, I mean, the first
Warriors.
Round. Okay, well, yeah, but as it stands now, and it's going to stay this way, is that the eighth seed in the Western Conference is going to be a sub 500 team.
Right.
So if the Warriors get the one seed, whoever gets that one seed gets a four game cakewalk.
Dallas,
in the first round.
Yeah,
or
Mavs,
or you know, you guys are pulling for OKC Golden State in round one. In the 2-7 matchup.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
You know you are. So this is good
but,
news
but
for
But Golden
the NBA.
State's not pulling for that, though. You can't see him, but he just did a shoulder shrug.
Maybe.
See, tough thing for Golden State, though. I mean, I don't know what their numbers are, but I feel like their starters score 80% of their points. So, I mean, their bench scores nothing. They always have at least KD out there with the B squad, or they have,
sure.
I mean, they always have one scorer out there on the B team, and they're generally picking up those points. So, like, I mean, the Warriors barely pulled it out against the Knicks tonight, and the bench scored 24 points.
Yeah, the Knicks have been in that conversation with the Warriors.
Oh,
and
the Knicks, yeah,
super
remember, they're the super team.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, Derrick Rose is
the conversation was only by.
Derrick Rose
had that conversation
with himself.
So, yeah. Right. But you lose one of three mega scorers for the Warriors, and
that's exactly right. And if Durant is out for a longer period of time or doesn't get back in time to really get tuned up for the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of second guessers out there saying, you know what, this move shallowed out the bench. They were better before they got Durant.
Sure. Right.
And it's an easy argument to make.
I mean,
that doesn't make it a good argument,
points.
But people will do.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want.
That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
Well, hey, we had three Pacer games this week, all on the road. First one, Pacers travel to Houston, first step of the Texas two-step. And they beat the Houston Rockets 117-108. This is Monday, February 27th. Colson, you're grinning ear to ear here.
No, I love this game. So this was it's a West Coast swing. Monday nights are slow for me at work. Get out in time to turn this thing on. And we look terrible coming out of the gate. We look like, really? We're just going to lose this one, too? We're just going to roll over to start the game. I think it was 18-2 or something.
Yeah, almost turned it off in the first quarter.
Yeah,
it was awful, and I, you know, so I went and played darts.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. I was like tired of feeling bad watching these guys play. Sure. Come back, and the Pacers came back. They just showed some grit. This is a fantastic game.
The darts game or the Pacers?
Well, I did not win the darts
Both
game.
Them at darts.
I did not win the darts game. I played well.
Sure,
but didn't Good win. We win this game. Almost going away, like we came back, yeah. and Paul George on James Harden move that we came up with in the last game we played Houston, which we also beat them with, yeah. Really disrupts this team because he's the engine that makes that team run. Right,
sure.
We're also a very good team at defending the three pointers, and that's all they shoot.
Yeah.
So between Paul George on Harden and our defense on the three-point shooting, we match up well with this team. Houston is a top four or five team in the league,
yeah.
But we might be their kryptonite. So when we meet them in the finals, I think we got a chance to win this one. It was a great victory on the road. I called it after I watched it. I think I texted everybody. It was the win of the year.
Sure. For me, it was the bench in this game. That bench unit, headed mostly by Stuckey and Ellis, came in and played with a lot of energy.
Confidence, yeah.
And really got the team back into it. I think it was close to tied by halftime. Although I was tired, so I went to bed. Mm. And then got up the next day and saw the score, and I was like... I went to bed assuming we would blow this. And, and then I woke up and saw the score. I was like, say what? Yeah, great. Great game. And even without PG doing much. So
sure.
I mean, he did a lot on the offensive.
Right. He only had 15. I mean, you know, he got 7 boards and 5 assists, but...
Mm-hmm. 3 steals.
Yeah.
Well, I think you had Jeff Teague carrying offensively a lot of the load, 25 points.
Yeah.
And we get to see Rakeem Christmas doing some work.
Rock.
The Rock, man. He's, got his 10 points, 4 or 5 from the field.
And we, like, murder them on the glass.
Yeah, and that's something that...
55-39.
Christmas is he brings to the table. He's a great rebounder, and he's a good hustle guy. You know, he doesn't have a ton of experience, but he's bringing it in other places. So, we'll see more later in the week, but, I mean, at this point, it's hard to not, keep him in the lineup, at least for some stretches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Definitely a great win. And the Pacers defended the three-point shot well. I think we got a little bit lucky in this one at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad you brought this up.
They shot 22% from three-point range.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, they shot 45 attempts and hit 10 of them.
And if you take Lou Williams out of that, they were 5 for 35.
Right.
Trevor Ariza, 0-7. Harden, 1-9. Patty Beverly, 0-4. Like, they were cold as all get out. And yes, we defended them well, but there's still... we got a little bit lucky. There were some shots in there that they could have hit for sure, so...
Oh, yeah. And they had some wide open ones in that first quarter when they were up 18-2.
Yeah. They could have run away with it.
All of a sudden, it's 30-4.
They could have run away.
Well, all right.
Sure. Yep. Well, you live by the three, die by the three.
Yep. And, the effort, it's great to see the team on the road crank up the defensive intensity and get the game turned around. And as always, when our defensive intensity turns up, our offense just gets better. Not just because of the transition points, but just the level of engagement that these guys have. And we just this was a good basketball game.
One final note, the quote of the game afterwards was Jeff Teague, who said, "This was the first game all year that we stuck together and believed in each other and trusted each other." But I'm paraphrasing.
Which is crazy.
This was game 60 of an 82-game season. Crazy that it's taken this long.
Always a good sign.
Very nice that it's actually happened.
Really amazing. Wonderful.
The second step in the Texas two-step, Pacers travel to San Antonio. Wednesday, March 4th. It's my brother's birthday. Shout out to my brother.
Shout out.
The Pacers lose this one at 99-100. It was a thrilling game. Thrilling finish. Kawhi Leonard.
Cheated.
Ice cold. Jid hits this monster fadeaway, and I was really impressed with how much space he cleared. he was like 10 feet back from where he started with this monster fadeaway over Paul George. Turns out he traveled, and the NBA said the call was missed.
And they apologized.
And they apologized and let San Antonio keep the win.
Thanks, nice. NBA.
Yeah.
But this game was fantastic.
But he hit the shot.
He did hit the shot. The game was fantastic up and down. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, just doing work on each other. But man, just what a finish. What a game. It's close as we're going to get to a moral victory.
Yes.
This part of the year, you know, losing to the second best team in the West.
On the road.
Actually, the best team in the West with the second best record.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, but here's the thing. So the travel that wasn't called, great shot by Kawhi, should never have mattered because Monte Ellis was at the free throw line possession before that and missed both free throws.
Which would have put us up by three.
Right. And now, granted, Kawhi Leonard probably would have just hit a three at that point. But,
but at least we go into overtime.
Right, exactly. That play was disappointing, the missed free throws. There was another opportunity in the last 3 minutes or so where the Pacers were playing great defense all game, I thought. Force a turnover, get a three-on-one fast break, and just... Ugh. And not only, don't convert, they, throw a horrible lob pass that gets stolen, and then San Antonio comes down and hits a three.
Yeah.
That's a 5-point turnaround in the last 2 minutes. You know, if we convert that, that's close to, you know, wrapping up the game at some level, especially if they keep closing.
Even if you don't convert it, you just don't convert it as badly.
Yeah. Don't go negative. Right. Yeah.
No, this was I felt like we controlled this game in the second half in a lot of ways. We played really well against a really good team. This was fun. It was a back and forth game, a lot of lead changes, but you know, there were stretches in which I felt like we were in the driver's seat. And you're right, we just kind of collapsed on the stretch.
Yeah.
And you know, Joey always says it's not the last play of the game. It's what you do. You know, it's not Monte Ellis' fault for missing both those free throws.
I mean, it is
his fault for missing his free throw.
But we shouldn't have been in that position. We should have hit the shot before and had the turnover and all that stuff. However, Monte Ellis is a veteran leader.
Sure.
He's done that. He's lost other games this season with missing free throws down the stretch.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that mad at him. You know, people miss free
throws. No, I'm not that mad at him either, but it's frustrating.
Sure. It is frustrating. It's hard to take those at the end of the game than...
Sure.
You know, than in the first quarter, but...
And Paul George doesn't miss free throws.
No, still number one in the league. Shout out to free throw efficiency.
So in the Houston game, helping get in that early deficit turned around, our bench played a part in that. By and large, our bench played pretty darn well in this one, too. And that's a really positive sign for us, especially on the road. You know, you expect to get a little bit out of your bench at home, but one of our real kryptonite issues has been our bench on the road this season. So that's a really good sign. It's great to see Monte Ellis playing better basketball generally.
Yes.
The other guy for the Spurs that deserves a little credit for this win is David Lee.
He won this game for
He was
all-star.
No, seriously, if he wasn't hitting all those shots in the second and third quarter.
No, like literally
all of the
them.
Shots.
All every of the time. Shots he took. Yeah. We would have blown them out on some level. He kept stopping it. Every time we were on a run, he would hit a shot.
He was 8 for 8 on the game.
And yes. 2 of 2
he
from
every
the line.
Shot.
And 2 of 2
he
from the line.
He hit all the shots.
He hit all the shots.
For me, at least, last point in this game. My God, Kawhi Leonard is good, though.
Yes, yeah, right?
Fantastic. He's really good.
like, he is now, he's doing the things that you want your best player to do. Like, he clearly, down the stretch, they were like, oh yeah, we're just going to Kawhi, and Kawhi's, you know, he somehow, Paul George, we were talking today at the Atlanta game about how Paul George's go-to move is basically he just uses brute strength and just throws a guy off with his upper arm. Mm-hmm. So he's a strong dude. Kawhi Leonard backs him down with no problem. His mouth starts watering when he sees a Paul George, and he's like, oh, I'm going in the post, and I'm just going to abuse this guy.
Yeah, he backs him down, and then he fades
away.
It's
insane.
Yeah, he's fearless against one of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah, right? I mean, he's incredible. Yeah.
Well, and you know, definitely Pop deserves some credit for that, because he didn't come in the league with that kind of confidence offensively.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
You know? Yeah. Defensively, he always had that, but offensively, no.
Well, I mean, I think he came to the league as a Pacer.
Why are you bringing up old
future of the franchise? See, and like, we held Aldridge to 6 points on the game. I mean, this should be winnable games. I mean,
well, this was a winnable game.
We should have won.
This was like Danny Green had 3 points. Yeah, I mean,
this was a really entertaining game, and we should have won it. It's at the end of the day, down the stretch, this is a loss, and we can't afford those anymore.
Right.
But I enjoyed this game. Not as much as the Houston game, but still enjoyed it quite a bit.
Like, Patty Mills had 2 points? I mean, like, some of their people that normally rack up points.
Let it go.
It's just so disheartening.
With one more game this week.
I don't think anybody saw this one.
Pacers travel to Atlanta. Sunday, March 5th. And three of us were in the house, actually. And Pacers win 97-96 in one of the best finishes this year, for sure. One of the best finishes I've seen for a Pacers team in a long time. Fantastic. Glenn Robinson, with 0.6 seconds left, drains the three. And just a wild...
Little big dog.
What does that mean?
with really just a crazy finish. And, I think this is another one that, you know, a lot of people had... You know, us included, we're kind of bummed out because they had lost the lead late in the game and thought it was over. And some solid defense and some creative offensive play, you know, pulled it out in a place that they don't play well. They have not played well in Atlanta.
1-17 in the last 18 regular season games.
You count that as not playing well?
You think it's because when they go to Atlanta, they hang out in Little Five Points?
Little Five Points?
Ah, they do. They've got to.
Oh, they go big in Little Five Points, though.
So we were hanging out in Little Five Points, and I decided that I have a new segment, and it's called Five Little Points. So I've got five little points about this game.
Okay, let's hear it.
First point.
Point one.
The Phillips Arena, you can't walk 360 degrees around it. Nope. You just dead end into the club area where you got to have some sort of fancy golden ticket to get in, and they shoo you away at the door.
That's right.
Does it have like bulkheads or something so it doesn't sink? Like, what's the...
Yeah, no, it's like a horseshoe. It's weird. It's like a horseshoe of regular seating, and then all the luxury boxes are on one end of the arena.
Yeah. It looks, you know...
It looks kind
of
weird.
It just, you know, what it reminded me of was, like, in Star Wars, in, like, one of those shafts on where the people, like, where they fall, like, where Luke falls down, you know?
Oh!
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure,
like,
yeah.
When he got his hand cut off, and he, like, falls down that shaft. Mm-hmm. It reminded me, that the club level reminded me of that.
Disembodiment.
Yeah. Just one hand.
Dismemberment. Disembodiment would be weird.
Yeah.
That's a little more intense.
Dismemberment, but way more accurate.
What's point two?
Little point two. CJ Miles. He might be our handshake guy. I didn't know this. I mean, I've gone to a few live games this year, but I hadn't noticed. CJ Miles, before the game, has some little shake and nod and hug for every guy down the bench, and handshake guys are important on teams.
Totally.
I think CJ Miles might be underrated.
That's why we got him for 4 years and we yeah. booked him.
I was seriously thinking about bringing back Chris Copeland last week. I need a handshake.
There you go. We need it. But maybe not if we got CJ Miles. Point three, little point three. Inflatable Harry the Hawk.
Yes.
One of the highlights of game was
and Hawkules.
Hawkules. So they've got these. So Harry the Hawk is an unloved character.
He's not a good mascot.
The mascot, he was not good as a mascot. You go to the store, the store, and there's no stuffed animals of Harry the Hawk. There's nothing. They don't care about him. They hope that we forget about him. But they had inflatable Harry the Hawk during one of these breaks, and it was absolutely hysterical. One of the best mascot bits I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So shout out to inflatable Harry the Hawk. Little point four. Jeff Teague, going back to Atlanta for the first time since his trade to Indiana, and I thought Atlanta handled it very well.
Yeah.
They did a nice little tribute. It was short. Showed a lot of highlights, five or six really big moments.
Yeah.
And then said, thank you, Jeff. And then just put it on, put the camera on Jeff Teague. He waved to the crowd. The crowd gave him a nice standing
ovation. Standing ovation.
It was just a really nice moment. It was done well by Atlanta, and I thought, was really glad to be there for that one.
Yeah.
Did you see how many of those highlights were against the Pacers?
Too many.
You saw it too.
I saw it online.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Nice. Gotcha. I'm glad they showed it.
They showed it on the They showed it on the Pacers broadcast too. Yeah,
all the cool stuff.
That little shimmy before he hits that three.
Yeah.
Little point five. Shout out to Atlanta crowd. They didn't really show up. I thought that maybe no one would be there. Like for the first half, like the other side of the arena was pretty much empty.
Yeah.
By the time we hit the fourth quarter, place was pretty full, and it got pretty loud.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I was thinking, oh, Atlanta doesn't really have the crowd, you know, whatever. I've heard that maybe Atlanta doesn't have a very good crowd. They got real loud and really into the game in the fourth, so I want to shout out to Atlanta crowd.
And they have, like, a little booster section of a...
Yeah.
They do this thing where they... you know how the Yankees, there's, like, a section in the crowd where they chant each player's name until he acknowledges the crowd. The Hawks do the same thing. So they're chanting Dwight Howard, Dwight Howard,
wow,
until Dwight Howard like turns and is like, no, what's up? And then they move on to the next thing.
Okay.
Do they draw like the short straw to yell Dwight Howard's name? a punishment if you weren't a good fan that week.
It was good. It was a good fan experience by the fourth quarter and a close and crazy game. So
yeah.
Shout out. So that's my five little points. From little 5 points.
That was good. That was good.
I guess from the game, aside from the crazy finish, fantastic. Glenn Robinson's dad was in the house, which was great. But, you know, I thought the Pacers, again, with a poor start, fought back.
Yep.
And they actually had a good lead for much of the game.
Yeah.
And the second quarter was terrible for the Hawks. It was just awful.
They had, I think, four points within like
maybe six
in like the first 8 minutes of the second quarter. It was rough,
but the Pacers fought back, and I thought they deserved the win. You know, I don't think they almost let it slip away, but caught back, you know, came back
and
closed up.
Paul George, he back. 24 points in the first quarter.
He kept us in the
first half. Sorry, looked like Paul George again. Super confident, stroking the three. They kind of bottled him up though down the stretch. Paul Millsap was 0 points in the fourth quarter, right? Paul Millsap does a great job on him, but his teammates picked him up and made some shots. And he created the
final shot.
The final shot, essentially.
Mm-hmm. What quick thinking from CJ Miles to?
Oh, amazing play by CJ Miles.
Yeah. Be awesome in midair. Toss it over to a wide open little big dog.
Harper, what did you see in this game? I mean, we were there, so maybe we missed some things. Like, sure. You know.
I mean, definitely the slow start was there. We did a really good job in the second quarter. We're up on rebounding at halftime,
wow,
which was big. Dwight Howard was just mauling Rakeem Christmas. But then we rotated in Jefferson, which was a nice move. We started using Howard moves against Howard. The refs were forced to call that stuff. So a good coaching move there. And in the fourth quarter, I thought rebounding was going to be the death of us for sure. We end up losing the rebounding battle in this game by 7 after being up 6 at halftime.
Oh, is that right? I thought we were even with them. The stat I saw was we were even.
57-50 according to CBS Sports. That includes team rebounds, though.
Probably four or five offensive boards down the stretch going to Atlanta that I thought.
Yeah.
I turned to Jason and I was like, yeah, this is what's going to beat us yet again.
I thought for sure, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm gonna name drop huge here, but we ran into Austin Crozier before the game, and we were chatting with him. And this is what we talked about. Our concern was that Dwight Howard was going to have 20 rebounds and eat us alive, and he agreed. And it didn't turn out that way. I thought that overall did a really good job on Dwight Howard. The other nugget that we got from Austin Crozier is we were saying. What's up with Al Jefferson? Is he still suffering from getting his molars extracted or something? And he was like, no, I think they're just trying to rest him. You know, he's old.
And give
Rakeem Christmas some more run.
Some burn.
But obviously plans went awry in this game, and Nate dusted him off. And Al Jefferson changed that game.
Yeah. Yep. Al Jefferson had 8 rebounds in 13 minutes. He was our leading rebounder. He played just under 13
and was a big body against Dwight Howard. Like, he changed this game.
Poor Rakeem Christmas, who in this game got just abused by Dwight Howard, and then later in the game had to guard Paul Millsap, who's essentially a stretch four, and like was getting back picked while, you know, Paul Millsap is flashing out to shoot a three, and he's like, had never seen that play before in his life, and he's like, what the. Really? I'm getting picked by Kent Bazemore? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, but one of my takeaways from this game is Paul Millsap is real good.
Paul Millsap is amazing.
He's real good.
He's a super high IQ basketball.
There's a reason he's an all-star.
Always in the right place. He's always doing the right thing.
Yep.
Yeah. He's a great ball player.
So we're going to trade for him in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. That's gonna, yeah.
Sure, Rakeem Christmas for Paul Millsap.
Straight up.
That's why we're just trying to show off his talents right now.
We're in exhibition mode right now.
What a fantastic game, though. Good to be there.
Anyone want to actually describe the final play? You guys haven't even... Tell me what happened.
There was some chaos, and then I lost my mind. So I don't really know what happened. Joey, fill me in.
I guess Pacers are down 2, and there's a turnover, I believe.
It was a missed shot.
Missed shot. Yeah, okay. But we didn't call that. Timeout. That was the thing. So we're coming up, and you feel like it was a turnover because it felt frenetic.
How much time at the point of rebound?
7 seconds.
7 seconds.
At the rebound?
Yeah.
7 seconds?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Because they got the ball with... Yeah, 33 30 seconds, or something like that.
So they wore it down.
Yeah. So they basically used the entire shot clock and then missed a shot. And then
I think Teague brings it up.
Paul
Did he George's, get the rebound?
What's that?
Teague get the rebound?
It's all very blurry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're at the game. You can't.
Paul George comes up kind of behind and Teague kind of drops it off to him and PG goes right at the rim.
I thought he curled underneath.
It looked like Jason. You and I both thought
I thought he was going to yam it.
I thought he was just going to like bring the monster jam down, but kind of ran out of room. Kicks it out to CJ Miles, who are our best 3-point shooter, for the win.
For the win.
And it was a high pass, and he's starting to get under pressure. So he quick dish off to the dunk champion, who's hanging out in the corner. And Glenn Robinson just makes it wide open 3. You know. So,
and the crowd goes wild.
We did. We lost our minds,
and we had some heads turn. And look at us, which was just fantastic. It was 0.6 seconds left.
Then we had to calm down, and be like, oh gosh, we can still lose this.
Timeout, you know, and they advanced the ball.
You've just seen the Spurs game.
I'm tired of losing at the buzzer.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So Atlanta does get one more chance. It's got to be like quick catch and shoot. And
I didn't see what happened.
Yeah, just hit the rim, but it's just hard to make any of those.
So. Yeah, we played some nice D. We ended up with Glenn Robinson and I think Thaddeus Young on shooter. So
I was impressed that
high degree difficulty.
They let Rakeem Christmas was guarded the inbounder.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
On the final play?
On the final
play. Clearly Nate respects his D.
So they get it from half court?
This is on their own.
So they call a timeout and they get it.
Yeah, so they got it.
But that was the end of the game, you know, the crowd didn't do anything to us. We were pretty respectful.
They were very nice. We were respectful, but they were all very nice.
They were very sad.
Lots of people were sad.
But that was it. That was awesome. It's great to see any of those games. It's awesome, you know, when you do that on the road. We took a long trip and, have it pay off like that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Solid win against a team that just abuses us generally. and a
team we're chasing in the standings.
We're only down two games to them now, right?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, we've got a message from our sponsor. These guys make this show possible. This one's brought to you by the Handy app. We've talked about these guys before. Colson, you seem pretty excited about them.
Sure. I got a house. I need some stuff fixed.
The Handy is the leading platform for connecting individuals looking for household services with top quality, pre-screened, independent service professionals. From home cleaning to handyman services, Handy instantly matches thousands of customers every week with trusted professionals in cities all around the world. With a seamless 60-second booking process, secure payment, and 100% money-back guarantee, Handy is the easiest, most convenient way to book home services. Right now, Undebeatables listeners can use the promo code ALMIGHTY15 to receive 15% off handyman, plumbing, and electrician's services. Just head to handy.com or download the Handy app. And check that out. I always love getting service done, and it's getting it booked is the big pain.
I don't mind paying the money, right?
Yeah. But getting it booked in 60 seconds is
with that person you know will get the job done.
Exactly, they're already vetted from Handy, so that's the way to go. Next up, we got my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week.
Yeah, we're traveling right now, but. I just want to talk about Indiana basketball.
I think we brought the jingle. That's cool.
What's that?
We brought the jingle even on the road.
Those jingles travel.
This week, my stat of the week is about a tiny town in Indiana called Crothersville.
Crothersville?
Crothersville. It's southern Indiana.
Okay.
Not too far from the state line. But in 103 years, this school has never won a sectional title in any sport, and they just got one this year. The girls' basketball team won their sectional, and it's the first one in the history of the school. They had some chances, like the 70s and 80s, but it never came through, and it finally happened. It's kind of cool, the story of the star about this, but you know, they had all these, you know, the people that are from Crothersville for several generations. You know, a lot of them were at the game. You know, players that used to play back on those teams years ago. You know, they thought, you know, some of them said they thought they'd never live to see the day where they won the title or a sectional title in any sport. And they finally got to do it. So it's 103 years. So shout out to the Crothersville girls basketball team.
Is it going to be like they're going to do a holiday for that?
Well, there's going to be a parade for sure. How big is the school?
Well, the city itself is 1,600 people.
1,600?
Yeah.
So our high school was 50% larger than that town.
Correct.
Okay.
But yeah, they're definitely one of the smaller, the A, whatever, the division.
Double A batteries.
Single A.
Triple A batteries.
So does this sectional title then come with an asterisk? Am I saying that right?
Asterisk.
Asterisk.
Eunice?
Yes. Euless. Tyler Euless.
Euless. because, you know, I'm a traditionalist.
Mm.
And I think that Indiana basketball, there should be no divisions. Should just be one big old tournament. Everybody, big schools, small schools, all sure. in the same big bracket.
Because you want to...
But now they divide it up into like four classes or something.
Well, you just want to take away Crowley's joy.
Crothersville.
Or Crowley.
Crothersville sounds like the name of a town in The Simpsons.
I was going to say...
It's that Smithers has...
Yes. That's where Smithers is lives. From.
Oh, their enrollment is 134.
Okay, so they're like the
Hickory... That's awesome.
They're the Hickory High of...
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Southern Indiana. Okay.
Shout out to Crothersville.
Shout out Tigers.
And Smithers.
And Smith.
Tigers? Is that their... That's their nickname?
Their mascot.
I missed that. Okay. Their mascot, yeah.
Shout
Surprisingly
out.
Not a bear.
If they if it was a bear, they'd have more sectional titles, wouldn't
they? Now you know why enrollment's so low.
That's right. What about the Guangdong Tigers? Did they?
They don't win sectionals.
Okay. They have zero sectional titles. Zero.
See, so Crothersville has way more sectional titles than the Guangdong Tigers. So, I guess I want to talk about next is, the last... five games, or basically since the All-Star break, for the most part, the team has played well. You know, they went in that before the All-Star break, the team wins seven in a row, then lose six in a row. Into the break, we weren't sure what to expect coming out. Now, they beat a Houston team, they beat Memphis, they lose to Miami, but they very respectable for the most part since the break. What's the state of the team right now? Are they playing better basketball? Is this going to be sustainable, or is this going to be the same team that we've seen in the past that, will play great against great teams, lose against bad teams, and they're basically just a 500 team? Who is the team right now?
I think that they're a more cohesive unit somehow. I mean, my worry coming out of the All-Star break was that the Paul George hoopla...
Trade deadline for, hoopla.
For lack of a better word, was going to tear this team apart, and I think that the opposite at some level has happened. I think that there's less anxiety around the team that people are going to get moved, and that is fueling a bit of cohesion. And I think that they're playing... I don't know if they're playing the best ball of the year, but they definitely seem tied together, especially on the defensive end. I feel like defensively they're much more locked in since the All-Star break. They're... Harper poo-pooed my stat, but my stat was that since the All-Star break, they've not been out-rebounded by a team, which is incredible, right?
For a team that's really struggled...
For a four-game sample set.
Right, but I mean, this is a team that's been in their Achilles heel. Right. That they can't... They get out-rebounded by everyone in the
this
league.
This is a team that's been talking about rebounding for 4 months and finally put together a good week of basketball on the glass.
Right.
That feels good.
It does feel good. I don't know if they're passing the eye test for me, though. Do you guys feel the same way? Like these wins are great, and the Houston one was nice, but I feel like in some ways we got lucky.
Yeah.
Houston just didn't hit threes. The San Antonio game we should have won, but we blew it. This Atlanta game we should have lost, but Glenn Robinson made an amazing shot. The Miami game we got blowed out in the fourth quarter.
Without our all-star.
Sure. The Memphis game we played quite well. But the first game out of a break is always, maybe Memphis wasn't all the way there. So what I'm worried about is that this is just...
This is another seven-game winning streak against bad teams.
It's a circumstantial thing.
What's funny to me is that I drew the exact same conclusion from the exact opposite set of facts. So,
oh, interesting.
It does pass the eye test for me. I think that we are playing good basketball against tough teams on the road, and I think that's very heartening. However, okay. I expected, in some sense, a bump after the trade deadline because regardless of whether we made a move, didn't make a move, what have you, the team's on the floor now, right? These guys know this is the locker room. right? And in some ways, that's settling for a team. Right?
Absolutely.
You know what you got. So I don't necessarily know if that means we turned a corner, but we definitely got a bump. For now, it meets the eye test. But for me to not worry about consistency with this basketball team, I mean, I would have to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, Joey, you mentioned it as you were setting this up, which is this just another, you know, we've thought we've turned the corner six times this season, and we end up still being a 500 team. You know, we had a 7-game win streak, followed that up with a 6-game losing streak. You know, this feels a little bit different to me, but I see where you're coming from. You've been, Jason, you've been hurt so many times, you just don't want to believe.
I've been in an abusive relationship with this team for the past 6 months. Yeah. You know,
but you know, I think we're doing the right things. You're right, defensively we're doing the right things. I've been impressed this week with the coaching. I mean, I these the plays drawn up from.
Are you talking about D'Antoni or?
No, but I there were several out of bounds plays.
CJ Miles play in the Houston game.
Yeah. Where he's drawing up nice plays. There was a really nice out of bounds play drawn up in the Atlanta game too.
Yeah.
Bring in Al Jefferson in this game, which you know he didn't want to do coming into this game. You know, there have been some moments where you feel like maybe Nate's getting his sea legs, you know, or starting to feel more comfortable, and maybe his job isn't on the line. I mean, that sort of stuff, you know, brings you confidence as a professional.
Sure.
I can do my job.
Colson, you and I talked earlier this week that there was, you know, there were suggestions that Paul George finally got his defense on the court.
Yes.
Right? That we've got a head coach who's now listening to Paul George in some sense, and maybe some of those wrinkles are in our defense, and maybe guys are responding to that.
Yeah, did you hear this? Paul George went to Nate and said, you know, this is what we need to change.
Well, he said to the press first, I think, but then he...
He
corrected course.
You know, Nate, I'll listen to this, and they've made adjustments to the defense based on Paul George's recommendation.
Well, and they've been playing much better defense.
So that stuff matters. He played on really good defensive teams under a really good defensive
coach.
Apparently
he was paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, our road defense was not all that superstellar.
Right.
If by not all that superstellar, you mean, like, the worst ever.
Yeah. As the idiot that I am optimistic that this team has turned a corner. Well, I'm not committed to this relationship.
Yeah.
No, but okay, look, we're only two games back from Atlanta.
I reserve the right to walk away.
Many rights.
I have to take care of myself.
No, I mean, we're only two games back from Atlanta right now. Toronto's lost Lowry. I mean, is there a chance at a four seed at this point?
I'm so heartened by the idea that someone in our organization is listening to Paul George right now. Like, I just that makes me so happy inside, and I feel like that sends such a good message too. Like, I feel like Nate finally chose a side, right? He's been stuck in between the rock and the hard place, and it feels like he's choosing a side.
And so did he only decide to listen to him because we screwed him over so bad at the trade deadline?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
I agree.
Who cares why though? Right.
But it's still a very positive development, right? If we want to have any chance of keeping him, this is the first step in the right direction. And guess what? We're accidentally playing better ball, too. Because...
Yeah. Accidentally.
Yeah, most of these guys, they play basketball for a living, you know. They want to dial in, and they want to be defensive-minded. But they want to be on the same page, too. And having the coach on the same page with the best player makes a difference.
Well, and I think you hit on it there. I think that Nate McMillan, at his core... wants to be a possession-oriented coach that plays defense. You know, you said we were a small ball team that plays slow, because that's what Nate McMillan wants to do. He wants to control possessions.
Yeah.
And that requires that you play really good defense, which we hadn't been doing. So if he and Paul George are like, yeah, I agree philosophically that this is the way that we should play basketball. That's playoff basketball. Let's just play this way. Let's make these adjustments and do it that way.
So, Bird fires Vogel. He's like, I got to find a new coach. Nate was walking down the hall right after it happened. Sure. He was like, hey, you're a coach, right? He's like, will you play fast small ball for me? Nate's like, sure. Yeah, whatever.
Which is the correct answer.
The exact right answer.
I tell this to anybody that's interviewing for a job. All my my mentees, if they're interviewing for a job and the person says, can you do this skill, whatever it is, you just say yes.
100%.
You'll figure it out.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You're smart. You'll figure out this technique.
So,
don't worry.
Charlie, don't you hire people for a living? When people just lie to you in a job interview, it doesn't make you feel that warm and fuzzy, does it?
100%.
But you're comfortable.
But then there's like follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's.
I don't think Bird had follow-up questions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Bird McMillan thing, that interaction happened in the bathroom. Like, oh, Nate. Oh, is that you? He's like,
hey, Bird was just trying to get out of there. Nate was like, hire
you're
me.
Here.
Bird was like, I want to get out of here. What's it going to take? He's like, hire me. Done. And that's how that conversation went.
But if he and Paul George are coming together and saying, hey, let's both do what we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
No matter what Bird says.
Sure.
We start winning games, that's all that's going to matter. He'll be happy. Actually.
Well, no, he won't.
That won't be. Because winning games.
Frank Vogel won 45 exactly. games.
Yeah. But anyway, let's win some games. And we're doing it. And this is good.
He knows he has to keep Paul George happy. So
that's more important than keeping Bird happy at this point.
Well,
it's the future of our franchise.
Well, I think Larry Bird knows that he at least
is able
to see past his own ego and realize that Paul George is the future.
I think Nate recognizes that the future of the franchise is around Paul George being happy, and his job is connected to Paul George being happy, and, you know, let's just figure this out.
Let's figure it out. All right, we're going to drop an interesting pod at some point. Later this week, we're not going to do the typical Thursday pod because
we're on the road.
We're on the road.
Yeah, but we have some clips from what we've been doing.
We're talking to people. I want to shout out to Ryan,
who is a member of the a huge group of fans from the G2 Zone. No, it's called the Miles Block.
Yeah, I think they're
the Fan Zones.
Sister organization.
Yeah. So the fans. So shout out to Ryan. He was great. Shout out to Jeremy.
Nailed it.
Jeremy was fantastic. He came
in from San Diego.
Yeah, came in from San Diego. It's the first time he'd seen a game in a long time. He was just happened to be seeing a friend in Atlanta, and Pacers just happened to be playing. So he was very excited to be there.
Yeah.
Really
and,
cool dude.
And shout out to Austin Crozier, my new best friend. It's nice to meet.
Did you get his phone number?
No.
It's tough to be friends without a phone.
It's a new world we live in.
No, we don't need...
Is Facebook friends?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. MySpace. MySpace.
game's coming up this week. We are in Charlotte right now, and the Pacers are going to play Charlotte tomorrow.
Oh, we should go.
Monday.
Yeah, since we're in town, we should just go.
We should do this. Charlie, you want to go to the game?
Somebody work on tickets.
It's tomorrow night. You get
tomorrow... Yeah.
The arena is literally next door.
Yeah,
we can see it.
Oh, that's a. Oh,
we can pee on it from our hotel room if the window's open.
But we will not.
Harper was unimpressed.
It's that close, though.
He does not want to see that on Skype.
We wouldn't do that.
And then. Well, it's statute of limitations.
Oh, right.
Wednesday, the Pacers. Return to Bonkers Life Fieldhouse and host the Detroit Pistons, another team that's battling there for the 6-8 seed. So that's a important game. Friday at Milwaukee, the team that we're 0-2 against this year. Paul George, I think, needs to have a statement game against Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then Sunday, revenge game, Bankers Life Fieldhouse versus the Miami Heat. We owe them one. Big time.
Those are all teams right behind us in the standings.
These are all very important games. Three games against Central Division foes and Miami, who's trying to fight their way into playoffs.
They're just a regular foe.
All winnable games, though. Right? We're going to find out a lot about whether or not this team has actually turned a corner. Proverbial corner. How many corners are we up into in the room that we... I mean, before it was like a dodecagon.
Hedron.
No, I think we decided a dodecahedron is a three-dimensional
thing. Right.
Oh, I think that is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dodecagon.
But a dodecagon is a 12-sided planar figure.
Yeah. Two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So maybe we started taking, like, I don't know what the angles on a dodecahedron, but those are 30-degree angles. So maybe now we have made a dodecahedron.
Oh, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next step is we're going to go into multi-dimensional space.
Yeah.
Which we sort of did in our Facebook Live video.
Correct.
Yeah, check that out. We'll link to that.
Very interstellar.
So, Harper, the Miami game, is that the game of the week?
We're not going to have a game of the week, but sure. Let's
have a game of the week. We'll put the jingle in. Jingles travel.
So Miami's on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we might record.
Record before that. So I would cast my vote for Milwaukee.
Okay.
What's interesting about this matchup is that Chris Middleton is now back.
What?
Mm. Yeah.
I know that.
And I'm a fantasy team. Suck it! The kid's a really talented two in this league, and nobody knows who he is yet. Between him and Adekunpo, this is a tough team to match up with. I mean, we talked before the season about how just ridiculously long this team is, and that was without Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
And
he's had a strong last three games, too.
The kid can play. The kid's just a ball player.
Good at basketball.
Yeah. Averaging over 20 points a game over the last three games.
They are formidable. So this will be a really interesting matchup. We're on the road. It's a divisional rival. It's a tough one.
They're only four games behind us now.
Well, we got to win it, and then Miami is also playing fantastic ball. We need to win both those games. So, no sweat.
So Coles has got us 4-0.
4-0.
Well, then I guess we'll know. You'll know by the time this this show come out tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
All of the Unabitacons have had the Pacers split.
Right.
We need to break that cycle.
We will break that cycle tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to beat up on Charlotte, so don't you worry.
Charlotte's not playing well. They're ripe for a solid pummeling.
Yeah.
We're ripe for a solid pummeling, like to pummel someone.
To pummel.
Yeah. I'm always scared.
To pummel.
Dave should be the pummely.
I feel like Kemba Walker always has our number like twice every game.
Yeah.
I
don't know how that happens.
He's also very good at basketball.
He's very good decent at the basketball.
That's all-star Kemba Walker to you.
But he seems to be, like, extra decent against us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
But until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. We got t-shirts for sale. Colson, you're wearing one right now. You look fantastic in medium t-shirt.
Thank you. Shows off my figure.
You had a fanboy approach you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not a fanboy. Maybe fanboy's not the right
word. I don't know. He was pretty excited.
But somebody recognized the t-shirt and was like, oh, are you guys from that podcast?
Yeah.
Some super burly, badass seal-looking dude.
That's right.
Came up to you guys.
Right. That's right.
So, I'm going to sing us out. You want to help me, John?
Sure.
Okay. Me.
You going high or you going low?
I'm going high.
Okay, I'm going low.
Okay. He's lying to you.
Because when they go high.
That's the thing. You never know. I'm going to start high and go low. But
We're killing this.
Try and follow this lead.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
That's pretty good.
That turned out surprisingly good.
Harmonizing.
Oh,
that was
perfect. Like, and we know it's not because of Coulson. So thank you, Charlie.
Right. This man taught me how to sing. So
you guys,
you're welcome.
Stuff. Drink first.
No, he was my mentor in choir.
Charlie deny that accusation.
It was definitely a harmonic 30th or something.
Almost.
Is that a thing?
It was near a thing.
Okay.
Did we talk about how Tyler Hansborough is now on the Mad Ants yet?
Can we get Ben back too?
Don't mention it. I want to make sure Bird doesn't know that he's like in town.
So I wonder how that works. Could he get called up right now?
Joey.
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-Dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.